Well, hey, good morning. Good to see everybody this morning. I want to draw your attention to a couple of things real quick. One is the insert that is in your mailbox, if nothing else, and it talks about the Harlan Christian Youth Center. This is a very good ministry. We're, as a church, we volunteered to kind of help them with snacks and things like that. Matter of fact, maybe when you came in the door, you saw there was a box out there of those little boxes of something. I don't know what they are. Drinks for children. If you'd like to do that, you can just bring those things on Sunday, put them on the bench there, and Rick will pick them up and take them because they got a pretty good little crew over there, and they like to give them a little snack. So you can get a drink or you can get chips or it doesn't need to be individually wrapped, Pam.
It's nice
if it is.
Too.
Oh, really? Okay, I didn't know if you took those or not. So, or you know, you could think about that and just come with a check and give it to Rick or something like that. And then look on the back of your bulletin for the prayer requests. There certainly is a few of those. And Brother Dean, Carol is having surgery shortly. Okay. Well, it's still okay to remember her in prayer, that's for sure. That's for sure. Yeah. Okay. Well, anybody else announcement here that we need to make announcement? Good to have Pastor Kim here this morning. I don't know if you know that last week, he's carrying the mail, you know. And he slipped and fell down, hit his head on the ice, and was passed out for some length of time. I don't think that's good, you know. But he just picked himself up, dusted himself off, and went on, you know. But my wife told me, you should have reported that at work, you know, because here in a couple of years when you're brain dead or something, they'll be able to say that, you know. Yeah. Well, hopefully not. But anyway, good to have him. He said he's feeling fine. He asked me who I was and where he was at, but other than that, let's pray. Father God, thank you for the day you've given us, the opportunity to come to your house. We thank you, Father, that this cold, inclement weather has kind of lifted up and people are getting some of their water pipes fixed and all those kind of things. And pray, Father God, that you would continue to work with us as a people, as a nation. We certainly need your direction, Lord, in many, many ways. Pray, Father God, that you be with us now as we're here. We're in your house. We are your people. We ask you, Lord, to come here and minister to us. Lord, if we need encouragement today, help us to find that word of encouragement. Lord, if we need strengthening, Lord, if we need a word of admonishment or exhortation, whatever it might be, Lord, we want your will to be done in our lives today. So be with us now as we attempt to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, help it to be so. For these things we ask in that mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand, shall we?
Redeemed, now I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of him all day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. I know I shall see in his beauty the King in whose I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Redeemed, 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 redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever. the prayer I make on bended knee. This is my earnest plea, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee, more love to thee. Once earthly joy I crave, soft peace and rest. Now thee alone I seek, give what is best. This all my prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee, more love to thee. Then shall my latest breath whisper thy praise. This be the parting cry my heart shall raise. This still my prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee, more love to thee.
Bible, turn over to John chapter 3. I'm going to read a couple of verses from John chapter 3 this morning, but I do want you to be aware that Brother Al Snelker had surgery this last week. I understand he's doing well, but if you think about that and have the opportunity maybe to drop him a line or whatever, that'd be a little encouragement, probably wouldn't hurt anything. We don't want to remember Carol. Continue to remember my son, Todd. Todd's looking forward to maybe when the weather starts getting a little bit better, trying to get back into therapy. He'll have to ride that little bus thing that comes by with a little lift and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, he can't go down the driveway when the snow's there. So anyway, things are starting to perk up that way, and hopefully you're starting to perk up a little bit as well. But John chapter 3... starting in verse 19, it says, "And this is the condemnation. The light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Father, we ask you to be with us this morning, and we do ask you to be with those that we've named this morning, those that we have our hearts and minds, family, friends, Father, that are struggling at this time. Maybe it's a surgery. Maybe it's like Aaron's mother-in-law, perhaps needing a kidney. These things that are so heavy on our hearts, and be with Carol especially, Lord. They tell her one thing, and then another guy tells her another. And so anyway, Father, we ask that you would comfort those hearts this morning. Lord, we'd ask you to be with those that are kind of standing off to the side, and they don't know what to do. They've been instructed to do this one thing or that one thing. And so, nevertheless, Lord, we miss them here. We speak to them, and we talk about those kind of things briefly. But, Lord, your will be done in every life. Be with us here this morning. Let us draw our hearts and minds to your word. Help us, Lord, that when we leave this place this morning, we will say it was good to be in the house of the Lord with the people of God, centered our hearts and minds around the word of God, looking for you to speak to us this morning. So, Lord, if decisions need to be made even this morning, openly, publicly, we'll pray that your will be done and that we will obey that will. Bless your word this morning. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name, amen. We started out in John chapter 3, and you'll see how it makes some sense, maybe this morning. I thought to myself, you know, it's an amazing thing when you find something in the scripture and you begin to grasp a little bit of understanding of what that is. And then as you kind of grow in your understanding and knowledge of that particular thing, at first it was this small little thing that you said, wow. And then you say, wow, magnificent is our God. And so I hope that that would be the thing this morning that you'd finally get to with me this morning where we're starting today. Over in Genesis chapter 1, you said, oh, I was just in John chapter 3. I know. We'll get back there too. In Genesis chapter 1, in verses 1 and 2, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, it says, moved upon the face of the water, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now, I don't remember when it was, Joy, but it's been several months ago, maybe longer, that somehow or another, on Wednesday night something, you said something to me about light. God said, let there be light. But the sun and the moon and the lesser lights weren't created yet. But there was light, yet there was no sun, S-U-N. It was not created till the fourth day. So let me interject kind of a little side note for you. This has nothing to do, it's just free. For you who love this kind of stuff, you know, it's just free to you. Modern science. So you say, oh my, he's really going off the deep end this morning because he's appealing to modern science. But I found this very, very interesting. Modern science, they theorize that light can come from empty space. And then they say, such as black holes. I thought black holes were supposed to be sucking in all this stuff. Another, it comes in and never goes out or something like this. I don't know. But anyway, that's just, you know, so there are those who would talk about those kind of things in different kind of terms. Light is spoken of in Genesis 1 and 2. What was that? If the sun was not created down there to the fourth day, I want to tell you, I think what that was a physical manifestation of God himself. More specifically, the specific glory of God in the second person of the Trinity, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you're going to say to yourself, he is off there in left field someplace this morning. But I want you to think about that for a second, because it's really quite important. Over in 1 John, or excuse me, the Gospel of John, the first verse in chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Logos, what do we interpret that to mean? Who is that Word? It's Jesus, the second person of the Trinity. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were created by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. This second person of the Trinity. In him was, now here's what I wanted us to look at this morning. In him was life. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. Over in the Gospel of John, Then John then talks about John the Baptist in verse 6. But he says to us, so that we would understand and we would not get this mixed up, he says he was not that light. John the Baptist was not that light. But he was sent to what? Bear witness of that light. And then he says in verse 9, that was the true light that entered the world. Important thing. Light existed before the sun, the moon, or the stars. It's evidence of God's creative, of divine authorship of all that there is. You know, pagan thinking, which is basically just unregenerated human thinking. They don't have the understanding. They're blind to the things of God. They found it was inconceivable that life could exist without the sun, S-U-N, because it provides light. Matter of fact, sometimes what we're talking about in our day and time, the fellow that's trying to get us to go to Mars and all that kind of stuff, it's a funny thing to me, you know, escape the Earth, go to Mars. But if that S-U-N goes out, we're in trouble on Mars. They don't talk about that. But anyway, they thought that life was very important for us to have the sun. And henceforth, they did what? They worshiped the sun, the S-U-N. Again, the Bible is completely unique in stating that the sun, S-U-N, is of secondary importance to the sun, S-O-N. That's the whole sermon in the morning. You got that? You can go home. Oh, stay with me just for a few more minutes. All other creation stories and pagan origins and mythology credit the sun, the S-U-N, as a source of all light, but the scripture, the Holy Scripture of God, states that light came before the S-U-N. So did you know, and understand that little bit, and also understand, there's coming a time when the S-U-N will no longer be needed. Whoa. Over in Revelation 22, verse 5, it says, and there shall be no night there. There shall be no need of lamp nor light of sun, S-U-N. For the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign with him forever and ever and ever. Okay. So we're talking about light. We're talking about darkness. We're talking about the true light of the world is Jesus. Now, if you don't like to be in the dark, does anybody like to be in the dark? I think not. That's why we get lights all over the place. Then being in London in 1939, you would not have liked to live then. Because the British Air Ministry had predicted that they would be bombed by the German Luftwaffe at night. So they began to make preparations to hide, literally, themselves from the Germans at night by hiding, where? In the dark. To protect the civilian population of London, and all England for that matter, the British government issued an edict to have all lights turned off in London and in the whole country. They wanted all man-made light to be extinguished, and they called this a general blackout. Sounds like stuff that we're told today. They just make these things and just tell it to us. Well, on August 11, 1939, the blackout began. Piccadilly Circus, Piccadilly Square, you might have heard of that. It's kind of a famous place in London. It's one of the most bright, it's a kind of a carnival atmosphere and all kinds of stuff like that. It's off. No lights. Street lights were banned and turned off. Matter of fact, they went around to street corners and painted little marks on the curbing so that cars, you know, they had those little slits in the headlights, could catch a oh, there's the curb. Don't run over there. So the only light that they allowed really were the searchlights that came on that were trying to, of course, pinpoint and target the German aircraft. Does anybody know how long that blackout lasted? 5 years. I'm thinking to myself, oh Lord God, be merciful unto us and don't let this COVID-19 thing go on for 5 years. I don't know that I could stand it that long. Well, it did for 5 years. And certainly, we ask ourselves, did it make it harder for the Germans to find the locate targets? It did. But the Germans then just resorted to mass bombing. London's supposed to be here, so many degrees, latitude, longitude, and all that kind of stuff. Just bombed there. And so it was very indiscriminate. It was basically terror bombing. There weren't any, perhaps, military targets there. They just bombed London. 41,000 civilians, I understand, died during the Blitz, the German Blitz, during that time. But the German cities never turned off their lights. Did you know that? And so the Brits by night bombed, and the cities were lit. Now, the Americans bombed by the daytime, but the Brits bombed by night. The Brits were basically hiding in the dark. They were trying to save themselves, but it didn't bring any peace. It really just brought despair and hopelessness. They had a lot of folks that were having difficulties with that whole process. It had nothing to do with bombs falling on them. I think maybe there's some of that going on today with our COVID-19 stuff. A lot of stuff going on that has nothing to do particularly with the COVID-19. Our eyes are designed for light. Where there's no light, we get fearful. Let me just give you an example. Have you ever been in one of these caves, like Mammoth Cave or something like that, whatever? They take you in they take you down in the cave, and they show you all these kind of things. Let's see, stalactites, they're the one that hangs from the ceiling, and stalagmites, the one that comes up, and they take you through there. And somewhere along the line, they say, okay, everybody get together, don't move, we're going to turn the lights off. And they do. And you can put your hand like that in front of your face, and you cannot see your hand. You don't know that it's there. I think that that's as close to absolute darkness you're ever going to get. It's kind of scary. Well, this particular cave that we're in, Missouri, or Missouri, whichever state that's in, they told us, it was Mammoth Cave, told us that there was, when they started exploring the caves, they found, have you ever been there? Oh man, it's pretty cool. They said that they found an Indian in the cave. Evidently, he had fallen through somehow or another. There's these little holes, and people can fall through. And he fell through one of those holes into the cave, broke both of his legs. Now, it would have been terrible to have just fallen into the cave because you can't see anything. Didn't have two broke legs. I don't know. What do you think? Terrified? I think that must be. Hopeless after a little while? I think it must have been. We need light. Newsflash. Thomas Edison did not create light. God did. Yeah, really. God created us in such a way that we need light. He provided light. He gave us the sun by day, the lesser moon and stars by night. Without this, we would be like that Indian in the cave. Well, sometimes that kind of darkness is said to be, have you ever heard people say darkness so dark you can feel it? I think I might have paraphrased it like that. I've never been in such a situation as that. I mean, it was dark, thick, creepy dark. You know, I think, don't you think that's why all the good monster movies, you know, the guys walking around, the good stuff comes when? At dark. Here's grandma and grandpa or whatever, you know, they're setting up their thing over here or something, or there's some little teenage girl that's watching her siblings or something like that. It gets dark, and then the music starts going. You know stuff is going to happen because it's at night. You know, it struck me, and maybe it did you too, that all the rioting we had last summer, none of that was at 11 o'clock in the daytime or 1 o'clock. It was waiting until dark, and then they started looting and burning and carrying on. Bad things happen in the dark. People steal stuff in the dark. People do all kinds of horrible things. They wait until dark to do that. It is a phenomena that is certainly true in the sense of the human experience. Bad stuff happens. Over in Matthew has a very interesting thing in chapter 4. He says, the land of Zebulun and Naphtali by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee, the way of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness have saw a great light. And unto them which sat in that region, in the shadow of death, light has dawned. Now, is he talking about some guy walking around with a flashlight? Uh-uh. If you have any doubt, the next verse says, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That light which sprung forth in the land of the shadow of death and Naphtali and Zebulun was Jesus. 800 years before Jesus was in Bethlehem, on that nativity, the great prophet Isaiah said, the people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. I remember we had a young lady here, and every now and then she would sing. She sang quite frequently, but she liked that song, Shine, Jesus, Shine. And she got to thinking that we must have known it by heart. Because a couple of times she just got up and said, let's start singing. And I don't know about you. Huh? I got Shine, Jesus, Shine. I need the words. I'm just too dumb to, you know. But anyway, Isaiah was speaking of the darkness, but he's not speaking of physical darkness. He's speaking of what? Spiritual darkness. He's speaking about the sinfulness that comes that blinds us unto the goodness and the greatness of God. And the land of Israel, and God is breaking through to his people. Why would God have to break through to his people? But he's breaking through to his people, illuminating their hearts and their mind, taking away their hard-heartedness, taking away their blindness, giving them light to show them the way of salvation. Spiritual good health. Real life requires light, and real life requires Jesus. God is in the business of bringing people out of spiritual darkness into the light. Many different kind of metaphors we could use, but that is that one. Not to Israel only, though, but to all mankind. Over in Acts chapter 13, we read when they're preaching, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, and thou should be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And then verse 48 says this very interesting thing. And when the Gentiles heard that, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as was ordained, received eternal life through Jesus Christ, who is Lord. Isn't that marvelous? God is the light of the world. The sun's a nice thing. It's nice to have a nice sunny day. It's good to have a light we can turn on and all those kind of things. But all those kind of things are just the lesser light. The real light of the world is the second person of the Trinity, is Jesus Christ, who brings salvation in his wings. Wow. And God really announces that back there in Genesis. He said, let there be light. Well, there's no sun yet. There's no stars. No. Let there be light. Well, there was light. There was light. I read a story not too long ago about a football player who played for the Colts. And there was a time when I rooted for the Colts when, what was that guy's name down there? It was a quarterback guy that went to Peyton Manning. Was that it? Yeah, I think that was it. Anyway, he was the quarterback at this time. And this guy played six seasons for the Colts. His name was Derwin Gray. You may know it. If Elsie was here today, he's a good football guy. He might know that. And Derwin said that he was so po. He was a kid from San Antonio, Texas. He said, we were so po, not poor, because we were so po, we couldn't afford the other O or the R. I thought, that's kind of cute. Isn't this something? I thought it's kind of cute. Yeah. He was raised by his grandmother because his mother and his father were never married, and they were irresponsible people, like a lot of folks are irresponsible, and they had a child, and they, you know, what do we do with this kid? I don't want to feed him. They gave it to grandma. And so he's raised by his grandmother, who is a Jehovah's Witness. He said, so I'm Poe. I don't have a mother. I don't have a father. Raised by my grandmother, who's a Jehovah's Witness. He said, but my God and my religion wasn't any of those things. He said, it was football. He said, in high school, I found out that I was athletically gifted. So my identity began to be rolled up into football. And he said, I thought about it. And he said, literally, I thought about this in high school, that playing football and being good at football might be the door or the opportunity for me to escape the life that my grandmother and those folks around and have something better for me. And he said, to escape hell is what he said. Well, in his senior year of high school, he was noticed by many colleges, and a school gave him a full ride scholarship to this Poe kid from Texas. The University of Brigham Young. So here he said, this is what he said. It's crazy. Here was I was a black kid. I was Poe. My grandmother was a Jehovah's Witness, and I received a full ride scholarship from a Mormon college. He said, what kind of things could come together any different than that? I don't know. So he played college football, and he was pretty good, and he was drafted by the Colts, and he got in the NFL. He said when he was in the NFL, of course, he started practicing and doing those kind of things like that. And he said, you know, you have these regiments, you do such and such of things, you work out and do it like that. He said, you come back in the locker room, and you come back in the locker room, the very first thing you want to do is get out of the uniform, take your helmet off, all that kind of stuff. You want to get a good shower, you know, get your street clothes back on, get out of there. And he said, and that's what everybody was in the locker room except there was one guy. And he said, this is where I met this guy. In the locker room, Indianapolis, Indiana. In the Colts locker room. And he was the naked preacher. I didn't make this up. This is true. The naked preacher. He said it was impossible to miss the guy. He's a big tackle. He's 6'4", you know, huge man. He said that this guy would come out, and he would shower and do all those kind of things. He would wrap a towel around his waist, and then he would pick up his Bible, and he would come back into the room where everybody's getting changed and all the kind of things, and he would go around and say, do you know Jesus? So finally, he comes to this guy, Derwin, and he said, hey, rookie. There's this guy standing before him, this big hunk of a guy with a little towel with a Bible in his hand. He said, never saw anything like that in his whole life. And he said, do you know Jesus? He said, I was sitting there about half clothed, and I thought, and I asked him, do you know you're naked? The other players then began to tell him, he said, don't pay any attention to this guy. He's just a Jesus freak, and he does that all the time. Just pay no attention to him. He said, but one day, this half-naked preacher, whose name was Steve Grant, walked up to Derwin, and he said, rookie, do you know Jesus? And he thought, oh my, here he comes again. Derwin attempted to make an answer to him. He said, I'm a good man. You know, I'm the only one in my whole family who's never been in jail. I'm the only one in my whole family who finished and graduated high school. I'm the only one in my whole family who graduated from college. I'm the only one in my whole family who never abused drugs or alcohol. I'm a good man. Have you ever heard that? I've heard that. But the naked preacher, I can just see this guy. I don't, you know. The naked preacher says, turns over to Romans, he says, and he read. He said, this is from the Bible. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. He said, well, I thought, okay, but, you know, I'm the exception to that. I'm none of those things. He said, but, you know, I couldn't get that conversation out of my mind. And he said, I played for the Colts for 5 years, and so did this guy. Every game, every time, here's the naked preacher, or the half-naked preacher, whatever you like. And so he began to think to himself, okay, this guy's talking about Jesus all the time. He's talking about, do I know Jesus? I'm thinking, does he know Jesus? He said, so I began to watch him. And I watched him for about 5 years, this guy named Steve Grant. And he said, he lived out his faith. Whoa. But over those years, the 5 years of playing football, he was injured here and there and young. He got several injuries. Ultimately, all those things began to stack up, and he began to realize that his ability to play football was coming to an end. And he said, I actually thought this in my mind. He said, my religion, my God of football is abandoning me. His physical abilities and gifts and prowess were beginning to diminish. He said he had a particularly rough training camp that summer. He said, I got on the phone. And he said, I called my wife, and he said, baby, I want to be more committed to you. And she said, oh, that's wonderful. And then he said, but I also want to be committed to Jesus. He said she was stunned. Nothing. He said, but I found the naked preacher, which wasn't hard to find. And he said, you know, Steve, tell me more about Jesus. And he talked to this guy about Jesus. They sat down in the locker room. Here's a guy about half-dressed. Here's a guy about half-naked. And they're sitting in the locker room reading the Bible, talking about Jesus. And he said, this man told me that if I would confess my sins, put my life in Christ's hands, that Jesus would come in my life, save me. And I wanted that more than anything. And we got down. Can you imagine this? In the locker room. Indianapolis, Indiana. In the Colts locker room, got on our knees, and he said, Heavenly Father. And I said, Heavenly Father. He said, forgive me my sin. I said, forgive me my sin. He said, come into my life and be Lord of my life. I said, come into my life, Lord, and be Lord of my life. Forgive me my sin. Forgive me my sins. Seal me with the Holy Spirit of God unto the day of full redemption, and I'll serve you with all my heart. And he prayed those words. He said, I can tell you that my experience was this. I didn't even get off the floor until the light of life came into my life. Wow. He finished the sixth season with the Colts and retired. And he surrendered to the ministry. He went to South Carolina. He started a new church there. He pastors there even today. And he said, I always, somehow or another, towards the end of my service, I always say something like this. Do you know that Jesus can use broken down, discarded football players in his work and ministry? Do you know that? Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ can use a guy that is half naked in a locker room in Indianapolis to lead somebody else to Jesus? Did you know that? He said, did you know that God can use you and you and you and do great things in your life that will give glory to him? He said, my favorite Bible verse is John chapter 8, verse 12. It says, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of light. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Well, this has certainly been a dark time, I think, this last year or so. Here with all our ins and outs, ups and downs, with our COVID this and our COVID that, and our doctor saying this and our doctor saying that. Use this mask, don't use that mask, put your underwear on this way, and, you know, whatever it is. They come up with something almost every day. This has been a pretty dark period, don't you think? And no one has escaped it, the whole world. But you know, I kind of think about this the other day when I was talking to a couple of our folks. Is we need to be the light in the world. They're home, they're doing whatever, they're trying to take care of themselves, they're trying to do what their government has told them to do and all those kind of things. They're trying to be good citizens, you name it, all this kind of stuff. But you know what I think I feel many times is that they're in despair. They don't know exactly what to do. And then the other word I would use is that they're afraid. They're afraid. Somebody asked me the other day, did you get your shot yet, preacher? And I said, well, I did. Yeah, I went over there to the micro center, or the mic center. I don't know what it is. I'm over there by Parkview. It's as you first come in there. Man, and I'll tell you, that was a great experience. They had that thing down. I just expected this is going to be gruesome. And I just walked in. They asked me who I was, blah, blah, blah. Go over here, go over there. Have your driver's license, have your medical card, whatever like that. I sat down. This girl says, which arm you want it in? And I said, well, you're looking at that one. How about that one? And she, I don't remember getting the shot. Maybe because if you give 15,000 of those, you get good at it. I don't know. I don't remember getting the shot. Then she told me, okay, now listen, here's your card and everything like that, and your next appointment is so-and-so, but you got to go over there and sit in the little chairs for 15 minutes, and there's a clock over there, and the minute it is up, you can go. You know how long I was over there? I sat there for 15 minutes. I don't know if I was there 20 minutes. I couldn't believe it. Unbelievable. I came home. My wife asked me some questions, hard, difficult questions for me to answer. She asked me how I was doing and all those kind of things. And she wants more. I'm okay. She doesn't like that. You got to give her more than that. And I said, my arm's not even sore. She said, really? I said, yeah, this arm's sore, but I got the shot over here. I was talking to Vondell the other day, and she had her second one, and she had kind of a bad day for that day. Well, listen, let's do what we need to do as best we possibly can do, but let's also realize that we are Jesus' instruments for light in this dark, dark world. There are people out there, yes, sirree, they're possibly in jeopardy, their age, their pre-existing conditions, you know, like my brother, my dear brother, Otis. You know, he had the heart, he had, well, many things. So there are those kind of folks out there. But you know why I thought Otis loved the Lord? Oh, he tried to wear the mask and do all he's supposed to do and all that kind of stuff. Yet somehow or another, and I think it came from his own family, at least that's what Relish's wife said to me, that there were several in his family that got the COVID-19, and so that's how Pop got it, probably. Well, probably. That little light for Jesus left this world. I think that we're here for a reason, and we're supposed to be that light. Otis was that light. Otis tried to witness and tried to influence as many people as he possibly could for Christ. I said at the funeral, we used to go around doing the door-to-door stuff. The only one that was worse at that was Randy Michael. You say, what? Well, you know, you do the Kennedy EE thing, and you ask people stuff, and you ask them where they go to church or something like that, and I think that's the second question or something like that. And it's funny how many people will, you know, like that. And I usually try to help them. We had a guy, he said he was a Lutheran. This was when Randy was with me. He's a Lutheran. And what church do you go to? You know? He went to St. Pete's over here. Or at least that's where the church is at. I don't know if he went over there or not. But Randy would just let him stand there. I don't know. You know, have you ever done that? When someone, it just gets real tense, doesn't it? Just, you know, somebody help me. St. Pete's? Yes, that's it. Well, I don't know, you know. But where's to be the lights? We're supposed to bring some light into this darkness. We're not supposed to be running around in despair. I don't think so. We're not supposed to be running around heartbroken. We're not supposed to be running around fearful of what the next minute might bring. If we're here, then God's got something for us. And that one thing is at least that we might be a light unto the world. We're going to go out this door here in a minute, and you're going to go out here in doing all kinds of things this next week. There's probably somebody that you're going to bump into somehow, way, shape, fashion, or form that needs to see a naked preacher. They just need to see somebody who's unreservedly, unabashedly loves the Lord. If they see that, God will use that. And the light of lights might come into their life as well. Father, thank you for who you are. You're totally unique and magnificent in all that you do. There have been times, other times in this world, when it was depression or war or famine or pestilence or disease, but you're still Lord. Help us as your people to magnify the name of Jesus. Help us, or help me, Lord, when I have that opportunity to speak, to have the courage to speak up, say a word, point someone to the truth and the light. Lord, I thank you for those who are here this morning. I ask your blessing on each and every one of them, everybody here. Lord, we all have different needs, and we all have responsibilities that some of them are not too terribly grave, and others are very grave. Lord, we think of those that we have on our prayer list, and many, many on that prayer list, Lord, Those are physical needs that are very, very serious. So help us to minister. Be that light to them. Lord, I ask your blessing on all those here this morning. For these things I ask in that marvelous and wonderful name, the light of the world. And that's Jesus. Amen.
Bless me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others all are calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Thank you for your kind attention this morning. I'm going to ask Rick, would you close us in prayer this morning, brother?